It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 23rd day of April 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between the great globe round. And whatever it is, whatever time it is when you when you're listening to the podcast. If, however, you jump into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you know, like right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Too Much Hutch and Anatole and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. All capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Did I do the hi, I'm Robin part? Because I am Robin, not hi. Oh, it's so complicated. Yes. Like I said, it's the 23rd day of April, and by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, please take a moment to like each episode on whatever platform you listen on, and then by all means, feel free to leave a remark or a review or a comment. Thanks to those of you who do that. It does help. We've seen a little uptick in downloads, and it's kind of wild. Here in the next couple of months or so, we'll cross 750,000 total downloads just at Podbean, and you know that's just a little chunk of time out of the entire existence of the Horn. Well, if you would, the good times will be had by all. And Carl in Phoenix and I have been communicating back and forth. I've also been talking with Chris in Germany. I don't know what's going on at Apple Podcasts. There may need to be like some sort of a manual reset to the RSS feed. I got nothing. I have no idea what that. That it has to be requested from the deities on Mount Apple Olympus out there. So hopefully that gets straightened out at some point in time. Program note, I am, in fact, Robin Kincaid, amateur Uber driver tomorrow. I have afternoon appointments to take my daughter to. They may impact this program starting on time. It may wind up starting anywhere between 5:30 and 6:00. But I will make every effort to be here because I hate to miss. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this, of course, this program is no different. And so, consequently, thanks go out to our 23rd day of the month subscribers via PayPal, via the United States mail, via any and all methodologies. Thank you very kindly to Lou in PA. And thank you to Grace. And thank you to our buddy David at Mellow Moonlit Meadows. And thanks to our kind anonymous internet friend. So where does everything stand in terms of trying to get the bills paid? Well, $2,200. We got $100 to go from last Friday. And then we've got Monday, Tuesday. Well, I'm just saying $2,200 because that's what it takes to end the month to the good. Okay? And all help is good help. We are actually, officially, the hole is $700 today, yesterday, and Friday, $100 of Friday. And we'll hopefully make things, knock down a little bit of that so that we don't end April completely, in a hole. Where to begin? It is, of course, Titanic Tuesday. And Titanic Tuesday means that we will be taking note of Titanic manifestations of white wing intellect. And what with the trial going on, we've got an abundance of that. But there's other stuff going on out in the world as well, and a lot of it, honestly, more grave than what's going on in a courtroom in Manhattan. I'm not downplaying what's going on in the courtroom in Manhattan or suggesting that it isn't important. But there are just some stories out there that seem somehow consequential or I don't know what I, for someone who does a lot of word knowing, sometimes I guess I pull up short. In particular, one of the things that I have in mind is a genuine horror. The United Nations human rights chief has described his own feelings as being horrified by the discovery of a mass grave near a medical installation in the Khan Yunis area of Gaza. As many as 300 people, 300 bodies thrown in a hastily dug grave. Not just one hospital, but two. The human rights chief for the UN is a man named Volker Türk. Hundreds of bodies in these mass graves. The exhumation has begun began at the Nasser Hospital Complex in Khan Yunis last week, right after Israeli troops left the area. I don't know if this deserves a content warning or a trigger warning, but it seems abundantly obvious that these are the products of war crimes, crimes against humanity. Ravina Shamdasani, a spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights said that the bodies were buried deep in the ground and covered with waste. Among the dead were older people, women and wounded, some of whom had been bound and stripped of their clothing. Sound familiar? She said some of them had their hands tied, which of course indicates serious violations of international human rights law and international humanitarian law, and these need to be subjected to further investigations. There were also multiple mass grave sites at the Shifa Hospital compound in Gaza City. Those graves were also discovered after the withdrawal of the troops of our partner in peace, Israel. There are witnesses to some of this insofar as members of Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, are already on record about the attacks made against the Nasser Hospital at the end of January before they withdrew a month later, leaving the hospital no longer a hospital. Naturally, Israel has said, we didn't do it, we wasn't there, and even if we did, we was only following orders. Instead, the Israelis said, oh no, we dug some people up all right, we were looking for the hostages. I saw a photo today of a baby, blood running down its head, that survived an Israeli attack in the last 24 hours. The entire area that is Gaza is basically reduced to rubble. Olga Cherevko, the UN's Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, having visited the area, said the north remains dire. There's more food coming in, but there's no money to buy it. Healthcare facilities destroyed. There's no fuel to run water wells, and sanitation is a massive issue. There's sewage everywhere. Sounds like cholera will probably be paying a visit. Meanwhile, Psycho Bibi is still threatening to attack Rafah, and that attack will become more likely if his position becomes more tenuous. Over at Medical Aid for Palestinians, a woman named Melanie Ward said if the Israelis do in fact attack Rafah, it will be impossible without what she described as human slaughter. She said everywhere you look in Gaza, every space is already full of displaced people living in tents. People who came from the east of Khan Yunis can't return there because their homes have been destroyed. That physically isn't enough space for people in Rafah to try to move and seek safety somewhere else. It's impossible for Israel to attack Rafah and for it not to be a disaster of epic proportions. And so lately what the Israelis have been doing has been to hit places where people have fled from other attacks. Rama Abu Amra, a 21-year-old student living in a tent now, said there's no safe place to escape to, so everything we try to do it fast. She was asked where they could go, and she said, we honestly don't know. and the world will watch as this nightmare, this horror, this crime against humanity, this war crime, continues to unfold. A horror of a different sort, with a bit of closure. The Department of Justice today announced that it was settling for the sum of $139 million with the victims of Dr. Larry Nassar in the sex abuse, sexual assault horror that took place over the course of years. Gymnasts like Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney, and others, having sued the Department of Justice because the FBI sat on its hands and did nothing for months upon months upon months upon months, as they claimed and begged the FBI to do something about sexual assaults and sexual abuse that had been perpetrated by Larry Nassar for years upon years upon years. And the FBI agents just went, ho-hum. So there are 139 plaintiffs, and the settlement is for $139 million. The original suit had been for in excess of $1 billion. Trying to recover some degree of dignity for the FBI, Acting Associate Attorney General Benjamin C. Meiser in a statement said, "For decades, Lawrence Nassar abused his position, betraying the trust of those under his care and medical supervision while skirting accountability. These allegations should have been taken seriously from the outset. While these settlements won't undo the harm Nassar inflicted, our hope is that they will help give the victims of his crime some of the critical support they need to continue healing." Because you see, and here's the rub. The FBI's Inspector General looked into the way FBI agents handled these allegations of massive and horrifying crimes. And the FBI's own Inspector General said, "Holy crap, they should have done something." The filing goes back to 2022. Like I said, the original ad damnum was for something on the order of $1 billion. And they only filed the suit after the Department of Justice came out and said, we don't think it's necessary for us to charge these poor, poor FBI agents with any kind of crime. We'd hate to ruin their lives." Because, see, there was proof. According to the IG report, the FBI was on notice about Larry Nassar's behavior and sat on its hands for 14 months while it continued. During those 14 months, Larry Nassar continued to abuse and assault, with, in particular, young women, adding to his list some 40 more victims. He's gone to prison effectively for the rest of his life. The lawyers, according to ABC News, were happy. counsel for the young women said the FBI fundamentally failed to protect hundreds of women and girls from sexual abuse through inaction and total mishandling of their Larry Nassar investigation. We are proud to have achieved a monumental settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice that not only secures the recovery of the survivor, the recovery the survivors deserve, but also holds the DOJ and FBI accountable for their failures. Do those fuckers still have jobs? If they do, there's been no justice yet. Two lawyers, Megan Bonanni and Michael Pitt, represent 77 of the claimants. They said, we hope this serves as a lesson for federal law enforcement and they make the changes necessary to prevent anything like this from happening again. Meanwhile, the first question that popped into my little noggin was, I wonder if anybody at the Ohio State University is ever going to get justice for the way that Jim Jacketoff Jordan turned his back on them when they made him aware that their team doctor at the Ohio State University was sexually abusing young men. Thus far, the answer to that question is not just no, but hell no. And since we're talking about pervs, like Larry Nassar and the doctor at the Ohio State University and Jim Jacketoff Jordan, I don't know if you caught this or not, but over the weekend, there was a rather stunning allegation. MAGA House member Tony Gonzalez of Texas Stan got challenged from the maggot right in his primary, but he got a plurality, but he did not get a majority of the votes. So next month he's in a primary against that aforementioned maggot. And Tony Gonzalez got 45.1% of the votes in the primary. The mega maggot Herrera got only 24.6%, but that still puts him into a runoff. And it sounds like Tony Gonzalez has just about had enough. Speaking Sunday morning on CNN, Gonzalez said, it's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I serve with some real scumbags. That's the irony of one maggot saying that about another maggot. I serve with some real scumbags, he said. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Said that out loud on CNN. And he's not the only one, Gonzalez. Craven McCarthy, the former Squeaker of the House, who was defenestrated by Matt It Just Gaetz Worse, who, by the way, has been caught bragging on the House floor about how he snorts rails of Viagra and chases it with Red Bull so that he can all night. Well, Craven McCarthy said of him in a to-do at Georgetown University, I'll give you the truth why I'm not Speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. And there's a common thread here in talking about in talking about the Larry Nassar case. The FBI got dinged for choosing not to pursue criminal charges against the willfully wanton, grossly negligent, to the point of intentional conduct behavior of the FBI agents who ignored the pleas of young women for 14 months. And of course, in 2020, the FBI and the Department of Justice started looking into Gates's behavior, because there was direct witness testimony from his wingman, Joel Greenberg, who said that, in fact, Matt, it just Gates worse, had paid a 17-year-old for sex and took her across state lines with him. Well, Joel Greenberg was charged federally, and he entered a guilty plea in 2021. One of those charges to which he pled guilty was a felony of sex trafficking of a minor. But, citing credibility issues with the witnesses, the Department of Justice said, oh no, we wouldn't want to charge poor Matt Gaetz. Well, the young woman who was underage at the time he allegedly paid her for sex is suing now. And she's of age, fully an adult, and she has subpoenaed Matt It Just Gaetz worse, and he will face a deposition in June. This guy's a real dirtbag. But then again, we're talking about a maggot. At this point in time, that's redundant for me to even say. And I guess Tony Gonzalez is just fed up because he said, Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime. Brandon Herrera calls himself a YouTuber, Second Amendment absolutist, and very politically incorrect. I didn't know that's how we spelled Nazi now, but apparently that's the case. And the ethics complaint against Gaetz has not gone away. Kind of makes me wonder if there's an IG investigation going in the Department of Justice regarding the decision to cover for Matt Gaetz, too. One of these days we'll figure out why all these right-wingers are such perverts. By the way, as we talk about all of these disgusting cases, a note. Larry Nassar was not a drag queen. Matt Gaetz is not a drag queen. Joel Greenberg, not a drag queen. And neither is an employee, Robert Evans, 57 years old, a janitor in the athletics department, and a well-known basketball coach in the Pell City, Alabama high school system. Well, he's been taken in under arrest. He's cooling his heels in the St. Clair County Jail in Alabama. Wait, I'm sorry. He's already bonded out. because he's a well-known basketball coach. Pell City Schools said, today our school system investigated a report of a possible situation involving inappropriate conduct by an employee of the Pell City School System. As a result, we had an employee at Pell City High School who has been arrested for solicitation of a minor. This individual has subsequently submitted his resignation from the Pell City School System. Solicitation of a minor. Well, it doesn't sound quite so disgusting as asking an underage child to perform sex acts with him. But hey, it's Talibama.
And they have deep conservative values down there.
He will, unlike the mayor of the small Alabama town a few months ago, who was hounded to suicide because he was found out to have possibly been trans, nobody's going to hound this pervert to suicide. No, not perfect, just forgiven. Right? All right. Told you there was a lot of stuff going on. Oh, let's do some stocks news, shall we? Trump Media and Technology Group is still tanking. They had crawled up for two or three days, but no, they dropped to $35.50 a share, falling 2.4% from its previous from the previous day. At Monday's closing price, it's valued now at around $2.8 billion. And so Nitwit Nero's cut is down to about $1.3 billion. He's apparently, it's probably in the works in the background, you know, that he's trying to get the waiver from the board, his pet board, so that he can start selling stock in Trump Media ASAP, because his financial woes are only going to compound. Oh, this up in New Hampshire, Stan. Because why not? The maggot legislature there, the House has already passed the bill. It's off to the New Hampshire Stand Senate. You could call it the Make Iron Lungs Great Again, MILGA bill. For the first time, a state is taking action to remove the necessity for polio and measles vaccines for kids in child care, school. So I guess New Hampshire wants to be what? Granite Florida? The bill passed the New Hampshire House on nothing but maggot votes, making New Hampshire the only state in the union to have such a law. Because, you know, who doesn't... what's a little measles? I mean, we've eradicated polio, right? Right? I mean, polio could never, ever, ever come back. No? What? Right. Polio... what's next? The criminalization of tetanus shots? Don't even whisper that into the ear of the universe, Roxanne. DJT is tanking. Emilio says, I wanted to short the stock, but my Schwab account says that this is a hard stock to borrow. I'm taking that to mean that everybody is trying to short it. Here's the hilarious part. After the leaping out there at around $80 a share in order to fleece all the Emerys and Marvelines, the contract language for Nitwit Nero's stock says that it has to stay above $17.50 a share for 2 out of 3 consecutive months. $17.50. That means it's still got more value to hemorrhage. Wow. That's interesting, Randy Radar. My phone rang today for a second. The caller ID said it was from Russia. I didn't answer it. Immediately deleted it from my call log. It's probably still in my phone somewhere. Yeah, going through a whole factory reset's kind of a pain in the ass for that, so. But you blocked it. So even if they call again, you'll never know. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but being Titanic Tuesday, this fits. Lee in New York pointed this out to me. By the way, Lee in New York with an obligatory Star Trek reference to keep the keyboard orcs, I mean elves, happy. Trump antisocial stock, worse than the single-day drop on the Ferengi market exchange of 199 points, nearly caused the overthrow of Grand Negus Zek. Terrifying day for the Grand Nagus that day. But, yeah, Lee made me aware of this. Counsel for the parking garage is apparently looking for a new career as an influencer and apparently thinks that watching a few episodes of something on the Food Network qualifies it. This is the... I saw the video in question here. Because she put a video out showing her chopping celery. Lee noting, oy vey, I guess the only thing she can make for dinner is reservations. I'll see myself out. That's quality. Ramalama, ding dong. But no, this is all true. You can find it. You can probably find the video without a whole lot of effort. And some clever soul named David Moy over at Huffington Post opened his article this way. The claim that former President Donald Trump cut the cheese during his hush money trial remains unconfirmed. Okay. However, no one can deny that his attorney, Alina Haba, has a puzzling and slightly dangerous approach to cutting celery. I watched this video. This is... this is more scary than any slasher film. This is more terrifying than any Friday the 13th or any of those franchises. And it's just a video of Alina Havana with a chef's knife cutting pieces of an entire stalk of celery. One, at least when I do it, I mean cut celery, quit it. I cut individual stalks because I like to pull the stalk apart from the bunch and wash it all the way down to the base because there's dirt down there. And for anyone who has been paying attention to American food news over the last, say, 10 to 15 to 20 years, we know that the dirt on vegetables in American grocery stores is often, well, contaminated with E. coli. Because, well, poo in the fields because of inadequate sanitation practices for farm workers and that sort of thing. And so I like to wash my celery. But then I'm meticulous. Usually when I'm using celery, I like a small dice, so I'll split the stalk and then I'll go through. And anybody who has even moderate knife skills knows that you don't extend your fingers. You withdraw and you hold, and so, you know, you're presenting your knuckles, not your fingertips. I sat there absolutely entranced by that video of the counsel for the parking garage chopping celery, just wondering when it was going to turn into that old SNL skit where Dan Aykroyd played Julia Child cutting up a chicken and cut herself and began squirting blood all over the... Oh, I remember when I was a little girl. Right. So apparently, counsel for the parking garage was visiting the home of one Siggy Flicker, who is a cast member of Real Housewives of New Jersey. She is said to be besties with Alina Habana. And it was she, in fact, who posted the video to her Instagram account. The entire recipe was apparently for a brisket. Oh, Alina. I covered this a few weeks back. You need a sous vide machine, sweetie. Siggy Flicker said, "Have a nice Passover. Started my morning with my bestie, Alina Habana, Jill of many trades, who came over to make a brisket for my family. Now you know we're going to have a nice Passover." Oh, dear. Randy Radar remembers the Julia trailer. Oh, dear, the phone is just a prop. And there was Alina wearing some sort of a tank top that looked like it had been reclaimed from one of her grandma's Afghans. Honey, she probably paid a lot of money for it. Ron Filipkowski posted the whole the whole thing. Alina Haba saws celery. It's really more of a video thing than audio, but still. Why not? Sure, it's brief. If nothing else, we'll Hear the crisp sounds of an entire bunch of celery being chopped.
I just think it's so good. And it brings the moisture, so it's not dry.
So what vegetables are we using? Celery?
Celery and carrots.
Celery and carrots.
But I love these. I had to go to two different places. Joseph's didn't have.
Now, bear in mind, she's looking off to one side while she's continuing to cut. I taught all my kids knife skills when they were young. And her dainty little fingers are just sticking out there waiting for the knife. Like, I don't know, like Marie Antoinette waiting for the guillotine.
The carrot chips. Oh, the carrot chips.
The chips. So I brought two sizes, the chips.
Yeah, she got the carrot chips. Because she doesn't want to take the time to chop those. She can't get the pre-chopped celery there in Jersey. No carrots are divine. You get a dozen for a dime. It's magic. No singing. We are $2,100 in $2,200 in the hole, Roxanne. Stop that. Oh yeah, she bought three whole bags of the carrot chips.
And then there's these little ones I'll throw in there too.
Ooh, I'll never mix carrot juice and radish juice again. Jesus Christ. What a fuck up. Elena Haba gives him a masterclass on how to saw celery. She saw celery at the seashore. And other people had a lot of fun with it. Elena Haba even chopped celery like a moron. This whole thing is a flesh wound waiting to happen. It's suddenly a flesh wound. Now come back here. I'll bite your bloody head off. This is how you cut vegetables if you wish to shorten your fingers. Dull knife and no friction on the bottom of the cutting board. Fail. Yeah, by the way, the cutting board is sticking halfway off the counter. It could be more than just her fingers. This is someone who has never cooked in their life. She butchers that celery the same way she butchers any defense he has. There are some women sporting a knife that big that I'd refuse to be in the same room with. Case in point. As Lee in New York pointed out, not a chef, not an attorney. Well, I'm not a chef. I'm a cook. There's a difference. Mine may not come, it may not come out all beautiful and looking like it needs to be on a white plate and charge $50 for it, but it'll taste that way. What's that, Matt? I saw a note come in. I'm pretty sure it was Matt in San Francisco. Oh, no, that was Lee. I'm sorry. Lee said, I made tuna salad today. I diced the celery after washing it. My fingers are uninjured, and I used a more modest knife. Sorry, Tracy, mayonnaise was involved. How are you going to make tuna salad without mayonnaise? I swear the first one of you that says Miracle Whip. I'll give you such a pinch. Well, I'm glad there are times I've watched my dear, dear, dear Annette chop up an onion with a paring knife, and I stood there just with that, you know, whole, the scream, you know, both hands on, my hands on either side of my face, just, no! Yeah. Oh, and if you were listening last night or to yesterday's program, you know that our buddy Wave saw a floating tiki bar go by. He provided me photographic evidence earlier today. Oh, to be somewhere that, yeah. Titanic, Emilio, there's dirt in the base that must be washed. Isn't that just common knowledge sense? I don't know where I'm going with that. But I don't either, but I don't trust you. Elena Havana, Matt says, still makes me crave stuffed grape leaves. Oh, we got to have a laugh here too, here and there. Well, you know, we won't make it. And speaking of having a laugh or two, a couple of teenagers, high school students who had the day off from school because Passover, went to watch the Trump trial in Manhattan today. Hope Harrington told MSNBC that when she grows up, she wants to be a lawyer. And so she and her bestie decided to head down to the court to watch the proceedings. She said, I took a lot of notes, what was going on, and different people who were doing what, and it was very interesting for me. Let's check in with the youngsters, shall we?
Well, today, some New York City teenagers swapped their history books for getting a front row seat to see it live, taking advantage of a day off from school to watch Trump's hush money trial up close. I want to bring in Owen Barenbaum and Hope Harrington. They both were there for the first criminal trial of a former American president. They were inside the courthouse today. Thank you both for being with us. Owen, I'm sure you had to get up really early. What made you want to do that and be there today?
This is a historic trial. I figured I'd never have another chance to do something like this. So I got up at around 6 to try and get here on time.
And Hope, what made you want to be there? You guys didn't go together, or did you?
We came together. We've been friends for a long time, and we've been talking about coming here for a few weeks when we hung out a few weeks ago in Central Park.
What was it that made you want to do it?
I really want to be a lawyer, this was a really good experience for me. I took a lot of notes about what was going on and different people who were doing what, and it was very interesting for me as an experience, and I'm a big part of Model UN at my school, so to be doing this and then to report back to the other kids at Model UN means a lot to me.
So what will you report back if you were going in front of your classroom now and they said, what was the most interesting
part of what you saw,
what you experienced, what you observed, what would you tell them?
Well, I thought it was really funny when the defense attorney was basically annihilated by the judge in opening ceremonies. It really made my day. It was really funny. He had no evidence whatsoever.
Is that what your takeaway was as a fledgling lawyer, that you don't go back into court without evidence?
This kid's going to get hired somewhere.
Yeah, basically.
And Owen, what was your big headline?
That was a big part of it.
What was your big headline from today?
I love seeing David Pecker's testimony. I feel like he started getting really talk about the catch and kill schemes, and I found that fascinating how he was. They spoke about the first one with the doorman and beginning to start with Karen McDougal.
Did you find him to be credible, Owen? Did you believe him?
David Pecker?
Yeah.
I felt there were some parts of what he's saying which were credible, but he was definitely more inclined to help the former president.
Yeah. He definitely sounded pro-Trump throughout his entire thing.
What was it that he said, or what was it about his demeanor, Hope, that made you think that he definitely sort of wanted to help Donald Trump?
Well, throughout his entire interview, basically, he was talking a lot about, we were referring to the boss, Mr. Trump, and lots of pro-Trump language throughout his entire argument. In social studies class, we learn a lot about bias and bias in the media and bias in all different sorts of stories. So it was very interesting to hear how someone actually in court was showing the same bias that we see in the media sometimes.
And I know you... his testimony also...
No, go ahead, Owen. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say his testimony also reflected how crucial to this whole case Michael Cohen is, and he will be when he takes a stand in a few weeks.
I have to ask you both very quickly, what was your impression of the former president? Could you see him clearly from where you were sitting, Owen?
Pretty clearly. He seemed very much more contained than he normally is. Definitely I could see him nodding. He was nodding off at times.
At the beginning, when everyone was first setting up, he was squirming a lot, and then he went through periods where he was unnaturally still, which I found very interesting.
Might be
I
an
find your observations to be really, really smart and interesting, and Hope, I don't have any doubt you're going to be in law school, and you may be down there in that courtroom one of these days. Hope Harrington, Owen Barenbaum, thank you so much for hanging out and talking to us. You guys are terrific. You have to go back to school tomorrow?
We're both off tomorrow.
Good for you. You can have a full day to recover. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, so that's undeniably cute. I'm sure both of those children will now go on the official maggot hit list. Remember, they're not above any of that kind of thing. How time flies. I'm trying to remember. Do y'all recall it was years ago during the debate over the expanded CHIPS Act, you know, the Child Health Insurance Program, when that one right-wing woman, back then I think she would have been classified as a teabagger, skulked around and spied on a child who testified before Congress about how important it was for Congress to pass the CHIPS Act. Yeah, I feel confident that somewhere in maggot world, maybe he'll even tripe about these kids. He seemed unnaturally still. I have my own theory, but I'll save that for later. he was squirming around a lot, and then he became unnaturally still. I bet if our pal Cynthia in the Bay Area is listening, I know exactly what she's thinking, because she's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Merciful heavens. Opening ceremonies. I thought that was precious. Matt in San Francisco says, the poor flag bearer had to walk behind Trump as he crop dusted the court upon entering. Oh, ram-a-lama. Ding dong. When we start interviewing random audience members, I think we may be at coverage saturation. Oh, Matt, it's jumped the shark now. Ralph said, oh my God, she's a Valley Girl. The Valley Girl voice was the boy, Ralph's, just with the upspeak and the vocal fry. Yeah. And then Ralph's corrected. Oops, he's a Valley boy. Yes. Subject line, the kids are all right. Great Who reference, Flavio. I saw that. The kids are all right. I love Chris Jansing. She seemed like she was, she did. She seemed like she was having fun with these kids. But the fact that a 14-year-old, and no shade toward 14-year-olds, long time ago I were one.
But the fact that a 14-year-old can tell when Nitwit Nero's pettifogger is getting his ass handed to him, whew, that's good. That's precious. Very interesting for me, Stephen New York, translation. What the fuck was that all about? Yeah, very likely. I confess, I'm a little worried about that. Wait, parents let kids in Manhattan just go and hang out in Central Park with their friends? What? Yeah, okay. Emilio noting, unnaturally still. That don't smell right to me. Oh, I think the Ramalama-ding-dongs are going to be fast and furious. Duke, leave the room. Never mind. That's a tired old joke. The flag bearer had to walk behind Trump as he crop dusted the court about it. I just want to see that in print somewhere, Matt. And yes, Flavio, opening ceremonies. You know, maybe this isn't the trial coverage we deserve, but I think it's the trial coverage that we need. It was really funny. Hey, Todd Blanche, they're laughing at you. So we are into the second hour of the program. I have Phil Rockstered for an hour now. And, by the way, we do. We got a $2,200 fundraising goal. And badly need to bring that down. $100 finishes last Friday. $400 finishes last Friday and yesterday. And $700 finishes last Friday, yesterday, and today. It's a mad rush to make it to May. Let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got on this. And by the way, it was a lovely day here today. Sunny, not a lot of wind this time. Got all the way up to 70. Girl can't ask for much more than that. For, you know, mid to late April in Appalachia. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome to the program.
You're welcome to the program.
I got it backwards.
Yeah, this is not a game of who the fuck is welcome to the program.
Well, that's what it says on the prompter.
Hey, Todd.
I'm sorry.
That's that okay. No, that was well played.
Oh, man. Listen. I didn't tune in till late, but this business with this hybrid woman, that shit pissed me off. Like, I mean, seriously.
You mean the knife work?
All of it. No, when you got into the meat of it, I'm like, wait a minute. All this is about just simple shit, dicing up carrots and celery? Like, come on. And people do that shit in their sleep. What the fuck is the big deal? Why are you making a video about it? That's fucking stupid. Good God. Do something productive with your life.
Hey, well, that's the whole thing. I think maybe she's trying to figure out something productive she can do with her life because... her career, I don't know, maybe she can go back to representing the parking garage.
All I'm trying to say is that, you know, and it made me think, like, if that's all you got, don't put that out there. That just looks stupid because, cutting up, I mean, that's the first thing you learn in the restaurant is knife work. But that's because you have to start small. You have to learn that that's the building block. And, you know, sometimes you dice, sometimes you slice. But that, like when you make a soup, that the main thing with that is the width. Right. So things have to be usually uniform so they cook evenly.
Right. If you got great big hunks, if you got great big hunks of carrots but little thin slices of onions, no, not going to work.
No, it's not going to work unless that's what you're going for. But that's really specialized, and she's not whoever. I didn't see the video. I'm just saying I could tell by listening to it. Like, if you're making a big deal about that, no. Yeah, I mean, but you know what, though? At least she's trying, I guess. Let me not be so critical. But she's got a whole lot of mouth for somebody with no skills. That's interesting.
Well, this is so vacuous. I confess. But what culinary tradition does cooking a brisket with nothing but onions and carrots come from?
A body part.
Well, no, I mean, but no, what? I'm pretty sure that ain't French.
No, it's not. I mean, that's just, you know what that sounds like? Oh, shit. Oh, please don't come here. Oh, there's the mailman. I don't want to see any bills. Act like you're not here. Nobody's home.
Be quiet. Wait.
You can hear it. Like, they give us.
Is it safe? Sorry, there's never a bad time for a Laurence Olivier Marathon Man reference. Is it safe?
Okay. He's gone now. Okay. Yeah, because I was... Well, anyway. Yeah, okay, right. The chunks. Now, you were about to say something, or what was going on?
Well, no,
I was
just saying, you know, carrots and onions. I mean, that ain't French.
Okay, yes. Yes,
was it Swiss?
Right. Okay, thank you. Thank you. No, thank you for triggering me. No, this is what I suspect, because this is what it sounds like to me. Like a person just looking through a cooking magazine and you see like a holiday spread with the brisket in the pan with the onions and the carrots spread on the side, you know, and they're like, oh, that's how you cook it. You know, that's what you do. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's exactly what that shit is, man. You know,
oh,
man,
that's how you cook it. So,
right. She saw that shit in Better Homes and Gardens. Like, oh, yeah, but there's a lot more to it than that. That's the shit.
Oh, wait
side.
A minute.
That's
no, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Better lots and parking garages. No, she saw it in Better Lots and Parking Garages.
Better. Who said that? That's
I said that.
Well, that's why you got that cowbell. Oh, yeah, that's what that is. Because she had any sense.
And by the way, Jehoshaphat was beating on the bell this morning.
Did you hear that? I heard it. I thought about it. I said, this mug. I said, yeah, they were. Yeah, you know what, though? They picked up on that. Good for them. I'll be honest with you. I was not too happy with Mr. Cooperman. I didn't agree with some of the things he was saying. I think we were falling back into this area where you can't criticize without being labeled now. It's one thing to be attacked. Like, I'm not there. I don't see it. But I can't imagine a group of people being pro Hamas. Who's doing that?
I've been following all of this pretty closely, and I haven't seen any pro Hamas people. Except for maybe Hamas. I would expect Hamas to be pro-Hamas.
Right. That's all I see. Right. It's them. Right. No, nobody's pro-Hamas. That's like saying I'm pro-bubonic plague. Yeah. You know, come on. Life expectancy is pretty slim with that. Come on.
It's like the late, great Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, used to say, you're pro-life, get down to the cemetery. Start protesting death.
Yeah, I didn't want to get mired into that because it doesn't matter anymore anyway. People are going to do what they want to do. They see it the way they want to see it. All I know is that a couple of days ago, there was a missile attack in Rafah, and
mostly it was nothing but women and children killed, and I don't see how they're related to Hamas. You know, so once again, you have to look at actions, not words. And this is what I, this is, and I'll be out, and I'm going to leave it alone after this, because it's just, you know, it's, what can we do? Except that I'm not hearing enough pushback by clearly racist people high up in the nation states, government and cabinets. And they just, they don't even acknowledge that. And they don't acknowledge that they've been assassinating journalists. And that's proof of that. They had these people stripped and, like, they look like Abu Ghraib. They had them stripped and zip tied, and they had the men take off all their clothes and their underwear, knowing that Muslims don't like that shit. You know, they look just like Abu Ghraib. But you know what? Like I said, it doesn't matter now. There won't be too many of them left anyway. It won't really matter. And now we got to worry about them trying to get them in Iran, trying to, well, you know, cause, and just to correct, I don't know if people are confused, and I'm going to leave it alone after this. Remember, Iranians are Persians. They are not Arabs. So don't get all that shit confused. They're precisely Muslims, but they're not. Yeah, and I think a lot of, that's why a lot of Americans think Palestinians are Hamas. No. Hamas comes from Palestinians and other folks. Now, it's just like the Klan. What? The Klan's in the police force here. They're all over. You know, you can't kill the Klan. You can't kill a philosophy. And, you know, and this is just makes no sense at this point. What are they trying to prove? Because all they're doing now, as we talked about months ago, is they're just pissing a whole lot of people off. And it doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. But they're pissing the diaspora off. So now we have to beef up our defenses again, you know, because we're complicit. I mean, and that's just the lens. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree. That's not my point here. My point is just commentary. That's the lens through which they see things, you know. And unfortunately, we're in a bad place, and, it doesn't look good. So, and people are perpetrating the fraud with this chopped up. Were these blocks? Did she chop these things up into blocks or something? Because I didn't. I mean, how wide were these restrooms?
I'd say they were third of an inch.
A third of an inch. Oh. Well, that makes my point. Yeah, that's what you put on the side of the, after you got your big ass piece of meat in the roasting pan. That's what you put on the side as the juices flow out of the meat.
But again, she's chopping the entire bunch at one time.
Oh, well, that's stupid. No. If she's going to use the whole bunch of celery, that's a lot of celery. Celery is a very strong flavor. Now, I don't know who she's cooking for, but usually you take maybe two or three.
I don't know, maybe a four-pack-a-day smoker who has no sense of taste left?
Because, you know, well, what is, and see, I know you thought the same thing I thought. Well, you know, when you're chopping up carrots and celery, usually that's the soup starter. You make it nice and thin, and saute some garlic and onions.
Well, what is it? The Holy Trinity, onion, celery,
garlic.
Yeah, then, so, yeah, onion, celery, garlic.
Shallots, if you have them. But, yeah,
shallots are nice, but,
yeah.
Green, bell pepper, you know, like if you're doing a gumbo or something.
Oh, sure, yeah, peppers. Absolutely. Oh yeah. Now's the time of year too.
I mean, I did my chicken tacos al pastor over the weekend with those boneless, skinless chicken thighs had marinated for a couple of weeks.
Holy cow! Tell me about the flavor.
Oh, it's I use the saison powder, you know, with the achiote, the beautiful red orange color. Did all that, let them rest,
put them in the bag, put them in the Ziploc bag, poured in an entire bottle of Mojo Criollo, and then dumped in about a half a bottle of pineapple juice.
Oh, yeah.
And let it sit for like 2 weeks, took it out, got the, oh, I got the 100-plus-year-old iron griddle, smoking hot.
Oh, that sounds like fajita meat now.
And did the chicken thighs on that, and then I did the, you know, and the sliced bell pepper and the sliced onion were roughly the same size because
right.
uniformity, and put,
right.
and got them all done all pretty, and then grilled pineapple chunks.
Now we're talking.
And got some refried beans going and some Mexican rice going. And put it all in a soft corn taco, you know, street taco shell with some queso fresco. Pretty damn good.
You know, that's a party dish. That could feed a lot of people. You get that big powder and mix that all up in the filling.
I got ten tacos out of two chicken thighs.
And it was perfect, wasn't it?
It was very well received.
Well, see, balance. Yeah. That sounds great. When you said the Mexican rice, I was like, oh yeah. Oh man.
I realized I have a Mexican queso fresco problem. It's, you know, made with whole milk. I love that sweet, crumbly, salty wonderfulness.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's getting easier to get the ingredients nowadays. It's changing. That's a good thing. Because now, there's all kinds of... Have you ever had this seasoning... It's totally shifting gears. I think it's from Georgia, they claim, Ajika. You know, like Georgia over near Russia, Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia in the Caucasus.
Hungary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anyone ever sees that, pick it up. Usually it's smoked because it's got smoked paprika in it.
What's it called?
Ajika. A-J-I-K-A, something close to that. Ajika. But the key thing to remember is it's from the Georgian part of the world over in the Caucasus area. Yeah, and I mean it. Holy cow, it's very special. It really is. And when you grill that meat with that, but back to your that sounds like a wonderful creation. That ain't no joke. It's always nice to have a big pot of rice already done. You can do a lot with rice, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
I heard you mention Chris Jansen.
Yeah, she was the one interviewing the teenagers.
I heard. Again, you played.
Who were better judges of legal talent than Nitwit Nero himself?
And that's exactly what I was getting to with spirit and. I mean, just natural feeling, gut feelings. Because I don't know if it's just me, but I definitely get a good vibe from Chris Jansen. She seems to come across as very fair.
She's ever so much more watchable than Mrs. Greenspan.
Oh, she needs to go ahead and retire. She can be. Come on now. I'm not going to disparage. Yeah. She can't give it up. I mean, you know, time is, and I'm going to tell you, Jehoshaphat and his counterpart, I think they've already made their plan. I think they're stepping out soon. They're grooming Willie and the other people. That's my feeling.
Well, Joe's only got four more years to go. He hit 65.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even have to make 65. You know, he's a millionaire.
Right.
You think he'd really like to be done with that? I think they're having fun.
But this is what I'm sensing. Because I can tell, you know, I pay attention. And it's just the body language, some of the borders they drop. I see them slowly, maybe they'll be on like 3 days a week, 2 days a week.
Well, after seeing his evolution
toward a more decent human being.
You're right.
It's been kind of weird to see him revert to get off my lawn, grumpy grandpa over the kids, over the college students protesting.
This morning. Yeah. See, we're on the same. Yeah, you felt that too. I was a little disappointed. I'll be honest. I try to be fair, but I was a little disappointed because that is where you are supposed to have dissent. Because, we've been in the dorm like a lot of other people, and maybe you don't realize it. We didn't realize it at the time, but you're not held to the same standards as the people your age, your peer group that's just in a general community. They let you get away with stuff on campus that you can't really. And I guess that's for a reason. I don't know if it's fair or not. I would say probably not. But you see, we have to remember that young people are engaging in a whole lot of information, and some of it is new. That's the whole point of higher learning, is that you have to keep it fresh. That's why if you're a tenured professor, you're always expected to do research. I spent my life doing that. That's the whole point.
What's the difference look, if you think about the outrages that we committed in Vietnam, the bombing of Cambodia, the bombing of Laos, the My Lai massacre.
Right.
Callie. Lieutenant Callie.
Good God, that testimony. Jesus.
And the guy whose name I can't remember, someone in the Horn Family Community Congregation will, who kept My Lai from being worse by turning around and pointing the guns of his helicopter at the raging homicidal maniacs.
See that? I didn't remember his name. He was right, exactly.
But the thing is,
he took a lot of flack.
College kids with skin in the game were outraged and took to the streets over that. Why can't college kids now be outraged over war crimes and crimes against humanity that are taking place in Gaza? Now, I heard Grandpa Jehoshaphat talking about, these crazy kids out there, they're there to learn things, not protest in the streets, get off my lawn. And I thought, and that's why I said the other evening, his generation and mine are the same. And we really never faced anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, college is a dynamic experience. These are good. These are private colleges, and they can shut down dissent, and they should shut down dissent, and there should not be any dissent. I was expecting them to say, America, love it or leave it, by gum. Like, dude, were you ever young?
Rox, you know what? When you present it that way, I'm glad that we saw the same thing. And we're hashing this out because it's interesting. We had some of the same observations. Now, this is the way you presented it struck me like this. Now, it's about the money, because when he started talking about, we expect a safe environment and our kids need to be able to go to class, he's thinking about how much money these people spend, ridiculous sums of money to send their kids to some of these schools. But it's the American, we would not be America. I can firmly make a case. People may not agree with it, but I believe that I can make a case that America would not be as good as it is without university protests. Because if we look back, wait a minute. Let's see. Vietnam, which box was checked? Were they right or were they wrong?
They were right.
They were right. That's just one box. Now, move on to this massacre, this slaughter. I'm just thinking about it like this, because I'm an American, obviously, but the international community has already labeled this a genocide. It's basically, we're the only outlier because we're complicit, which is why I encourage everyone to attend to BBC and Al Jazeera if you can get it.
of course, you know, Al Jazeera, they will show. Of course, you can't trust everything you see.
Well,
if
Israel allows them to broadcast.
Well, this is the kicker. This is what Al Jazeera shows is the smuggled video out. And what happens is that you have to corroborate that with what you see on BBC. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. Because the IDF, and I remember we talked about propaganda, and we did the same thing, and I thought about it, that the propaganda, and don't let me get too far off, the propaganda coming from the first Gulf War is what got your previous employer on the map. And it was kind of cool. It was like a video game. But that's what got, you know, who on the map? CNN. It was that Gulf War. That got them really going. That was 24/7. Everybody was glued to CNN. They had that coverage, and you could see the bombers come in. But remember, that was just footage that the U.S. Army, Air Force, our defenses released. So it's like watching a movie. It's like the director, you only see what the director wants you to see. Whereas what I'm talking about with Al Jazeera is that these are people with cell phones, and they're taped, they're recording what's actually going on, and it gets, you know, they can leak it out sometimes. And this can get corroborated or given to BBC, and they corroborate. They have a program called Verify, BBC Verify, and they verify the facts. I wish we had and it only comes on twice a day. Because when they say verified facts, that's what they mean. That's what they mean. Now, I didn't even mean to get off on that tangent too much, but It's about the slaughter that we witnessed. And how can you can't make sense of that. It's children and women. There's nothing left but mostly children and women. And they've already demonstrated, the nation state has already demonstrated that they are capable and willing and able to engage in targeted attacks on who exactly they want to get when they feel like it. When they feel like it. So, the behavior, to me, the behavior demonstrates that. That's all I can say.
These are precision weapons.
Right. And this, let's not forget, a lot of this is BP's fault because he was like, oh, no, fund him. I need an adversary. Otherwise, I won't be politically relevant. And we, that was the first thing we said. This is a very convenient war. Let me see. This sucker's about to face some charges because he's trying to manipulate the government like Trump wants. Sure enough. So it's coming out, though. People are pissed off. And there ain't no more hostages. You can forget about that. You see, you don't hear anything about it. I mean, you know, these people ought to be upset. It's too much. Right, exactly. It's too much proof. They didn't care. They don't care about those hostages. It's just a reason. The Machiavellian, they're just like, oh, that's convenient. Ugh, history is going to look badly, badly on these folks. Bad. Bad.
I think you're right. It's brutal. And by the way, thank you to non-billable Rick. it was CW2 Thompson, the guy who mitigated the massacre. And George and Korsgold, subject line, Full Metal Jacket, listen to the Born to Kill peace sign scene when Joker gets dressed down by a general.
That's an intense movie.
Oh, yes, it is. It's actually two separate movies. You know, the Paris, the Paris Island part, and then there's the in-country part.
I agree with it. It's the kind of movie you have to watch again every couple of years, even though you've seen it. It's right. And the whole, who is the cinematographer? Because once
well, remember that, part, that, like whole that whole thing is Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, that's why. Was that picture? Because we were like, well, you're a little old, not much older than me. We were like right in the middle or near the end of college, I think. But was that where they had that terrible helicopter crash? While they were filming?
No, that was the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
That was the Twilight Zone.
Oh, that was...
Here's the clip. Okay. Here's the clip George is talking about.
Okay.
Everybody turned up, got shot. Some they buried alive.
Right? Colonel? Marine, what is that button on your body armor?
A peace symbol, sir.
Where'd you get it?
I don't remember, sir.
What is that you've got written on your helmet?
Born to kill, sir.
You write born to kill on your helmet and you wear a peace button. What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke?
No, sir.
What is it supposed to mean?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know very much, do you?
No, sir.
You better get your head and your ass wired together or I will take a giant shit on you.
Yes, sir.
Now answer my question or you'll be standing tall before the man.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
The what?
The duality of man, the Jungian thing, sir.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir.
Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
Then how about getting with the program? Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Yes, sir.
Son, all I've ever asked of my Marines is for them to obey my orders as they would the word of God. We are here to help the Vietnamese because inside every gook, there is an American trying to get out. It's a hardball world, son. We've got to try to keep our heads until this peace craze blows over.
Aye, aye, sir.
Until this peace craze blows over.
Roxanne, would you be able to provide a cowbell for you and your crack ass interns to be able to bring that up? That was so good.
That's all on George and Coarse Gold.
I'm serious. Like to listen to it without the visual, it's like I was like, oh, and it triggered me. I was like, he's gonna say, I don't know, sir. Left, right, like good, bad. This is wrong. Wow, that.
I'd forgotten that scene.
George, that was something, man. That, you know what? I gotta see. I might have to watch a movie again pretty soon. It's just so sad at the end. It's just really sad. I don't know. So last time we talked, you triggered me. I'm building a new, this is not what we're talking about, but I'm just saying, I've been amassing bricks and I've been wanting, well, first of all, I'm going to build my tandoor oven. That's a slow process. Yeah, I'm doing that. But in the interim, I'm just building the backyard, a barbecue pit. I have a bunch of bricks and it's time to get this thing going because I'm not ready to get another nice grill yet. But, the secret is to save all your grates and you find an old oven, somebody's thrown out, get the rack out, and then that's all you need. And some wood. We got plenty of wood. This is barbecue heaven over here. I got nothing but wood.
And you're not going anywhere anytime soon. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. So you could build a really, really good brick pit. Old school.
That's what I'm. That's,
old school, like yeah, they use down in Hemingway, South Carolina.
There you go. See now, right? And bam, I'm gonna bank that fire. Oh, it's in where? What? Hot, middle, cool. I've already got a dome now. I've been digging around. I have all kinds of stuff around. I was like, oh shit, there's the lid right there, stainless steel dome. Oh, I can taste it now. I'm getting psyched. It's getting warm out. But it got cold as shit. I know you froze. You had to have froze, man. If you didn't freeze, you will. Your ass is gonna freeze up. Shit.
It was yesterday. Yesterday, that wind was no joke.
Well, in one day we went from everything open. You know, just perfect. You know, spring in the south, nice and warm. To the heaters again, just like overnight. I was in shorts for 2 days and then boom. Hell no, now I got the sweater on again. But I'm not playing with this shit. Have you ever heard of some guy named Trump?
The orange fella kind of shambles around.
Yeah, he's kind of.
Suspected of shitting himself rather frequently. That dude?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think is going on with that?
Which part?
I would say, well, it seems to me what, and somebody commented on TV, and I'm not going by what they said, because, you know, that's fine, whatever they say, but this case was supposed to be the dullard case, you know, the boring, maybe not so good case, but, oh, it's presenting evidence that is germane to all these other things. And at the end of the day, it just doesn't look good. You know, like, you know, catch and kill, that's not illegal, but it's slimy, and it, you know, it's politics, it's slimy. But I think the voters had just about enough of this. And just like, we've been saying this for a while, it is going to be the women, because there are plenty, unless you're a real hardcore right-wing Trump woman, This stuff with the abortion, you're gonna go in, and you're not gonna either gonna vote all the way down ballot and not vote for, you know, Trump for president.
Right.
And you just won't say anything when you go home because you want to keep peace in the house. And I mean, this is all anecdotal, but this has happened before. I've had some of my female friends, you know, white and black, approach me and tell me, oh yeah, I'm not. But don't tell Frank. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't say anything.
By the way, serving as the Full Metal Jacket Cinematographer Research Department ad hoc, Herman said the cinematographer for Full Metal Jacket, it was Douglas Milsom. Douglas Milsom. This is important. Not that that wasn't. Thank you, Herman. A note coming in from Mike in Cascadia. Colombia and Gaza and anti-Semitism. Yesterday on Background Briefing with Ian Masters, Ian had a professor from Colombia, Ann Nelson, on his show. She said that the campus is now completely closed and access is given by college IDs. She further explained that the protest groups on campus are and have been completely reasonable and respectful with no anti-Semitism. Then she said, right outside campus, there are protesters completely unattached to Colombia, and that group is indeterminate. So any type of bad behavior from that group might be from agent provocateur. Morning Joe never tells that story. Over 100 students were expelled from Colombia. With expulsion, they lose their housing. Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter was expelled, and Jewish Students for Peace and another social justice group had their charters revoked. Finally, today on Morning Joe, some billionaire was saying he's going to stop giving millions to Colombia due to their anti-Semitism. I see AIPAC's hands all over this. I do too, Mike. And Chris Rufo and Elise Stefanik are all too ready to jump in and attack another university. That all makes perfect sense. That, you know, with these sorts of people, you don't need facts. You just need baseless allegations. And by the way, Mike says, the duality of man. Classic. Get with the program, join the team, and come in for the big win when this peace spasm is over. Good God. Thank you, Mike. Clarence says, here's one for you. I remember while I was in Vietnam a very disturbing saying, we got to kill them to save them. That was the explanation the war hawks used to justify the war. And then, of course, there's that classic clip of General Westmoreland saying that, these people over here, they don't value human life the way we do.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in a documentary in college and just kind of feeling like this sickness in my stomach that made me feel like I was about to imminently lose my lunch. And I mean, there are very real consequences to all of this, because just because they're not going into Rafah, our partners in peace, doesn't mean that they're not raining death constantly. And this story, I read it, and it just slew me. No, I shouldn't say that, because there were people slain. Just broke me. At 7 months pregnant, Sabreen Al-Sakani fled with every bit of strength in her body to reach an emergency unit because she had been wounded in the head and the abdomen over the weekend by our partners in peace, Israel. An Israeli airstrike had completely demolished her family's home east of Rafah. This was all documented by Agence France-Presse. And so her only goal in life at that point was to get to emergency aid. A surgeon and director of the Kuwaiti hospital in Rafah told AFP, "It's a miracle she was still alive despite her difficulties in breathing." And it was only as they examined her that they realized she was 7 months pregnant. They had no anesthesia. They had nothing. But they wanted there to be some life. They tried to save some life out of all the death.
And things will tell me they cut the baby out.
They delivered the little girl by C-section. And Mama died 10 minutes later.
Of course she did.
The baby's father and the baby's sister were declared dead on arrival at the hospital. The little newborn girl has no family at all. They were all slaughtered by the Israelis.
I have a question.
And in that attack on that home, 19 people in total were massacred by Israel. So the baby has been transferred to the Emirati Hospital. It's kind of a MASH unit that they put up in Rafah. Hadar Abu Snime, who is with the Emirati Hospital, speaking to AFP, said, "We quickly put her in an incubator, put her on oxygen, and treated her with antibiotics."
I'm trying to get beyond, I'm trying to pull out from this very sensitive and disgusting carnage, but there are only so many Israelis. And it would seem to me that every time one of these, at this point in this process, to try to clean up what's going on, instead of saying war or massacre, this process, every time this happens, how many terrorists are going to be generated from this?
That's the real calculus here.
You see what I'm saying? How much can I grieve? You know, I'm just looking at what, and it's going to impact us. We don't live in a bubble.
This isn't a war between two reasonably equally armed opponents. This is a massacre between a high-technology military and people with nothing. It's not even a war. Don't call it a war. It's just a slaughter.
Well, you said it. I mean, literally, like, okay, yeah, one side has what could be called projectiles, but that's something out of a a funky science project compared to the finest weapons that money can buy on this planet Earth.
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating. That's what it is. Against women and children. And, you know, and to discuss this is not anti-Semitic before anybody even thinks that. It don't go down that road. And that's myopic. You know, we're just the reason we got here. This is why they're not talking about the West Bank anymore and how many people are being slaughtered by folks who aren't even supposed to be there. Occupiers. Illegal settlements. Yet they have the power to govern behind them. Just like in the Deep South. That's exactly just like Boss Hogg saying, oh, we told you to get out. It's like, but I own this land. Here's my deed. I don't give a fuck. You better have your brown ass off this fucking land by the time I come back. And we'll take the keys now.
I mean, there's no appropriate math for this. Hamas, in its evil deed that Israel knew was coming on October 7th, killed almost 1,200 people. It was awful. It was reprehensible. As retribution for that, Israel has slaughtered 30 times that many people, the vast majority of them women and children and non-combatants. That's just the numbers.
I'm looking for more.
That's who Israel has become.
That's what I don't get. I mean, what are you trying to prove now? Like, literally, what are you trying to prove? We already know that your leader is corrupt. Everybody in your country, you know, the nation state knows he's corrupt. It's coming out how they, you know. This is such a messy company. He was the wrong person at the wrong time. And because of his hubris and his ego, the whole world is now in peril. And we've already lost. We've already lost military men now.
Well, and the house where that one woman was mortally wounded and later gave birth by C-section, even as she died, there were two houses adjacent to each other that were hit by our partners in peace. And they slaughtered... And they slaughtered 15 children and 5 women, none of whom had a goddamn thing to do with Hamas.
That's what I don't get. They need to just say what they want to do. You're doing exactly what they want to do. They're not verbalizing. When they say we want to destroy Hamas, remember, this is like Mad Libs. Insert Arabs and Palestinians. Certain Arabs.
Well, Hamas is anybody that Israel says is Hamas. That little premature premature 4.1-pound baby was Hamas, as far as Bibi Netanyahu is concerned, and what's his fuck Ben Gavir and Beelzebub Smotrich and the rest of those vicious, vile, ugly, miserable, shit-eating fascists.
Well, do you listen? You don't know that child was an enemy combatant. You didn't see the weapon in that infant's hand. It came out hating you. You just don't understand.
That must be the problem.
What do you think that umbilical cord is for? That is to strangle Jews as soon as they come out of the womb.
You know, the sad thing is, you're being sarcastic, but in the illegal occupied settlements, that passes for reasonable discourse.
You know it too. People, anybody who's listening, look at some of these people that have been interviewed in the West Bank. They're fucking insane.
And I listen, they just, I don't care what, it doesn't matter what they subscribe to or what their thought process, I mean, their belief system is, they're fucking nuts. It's out there. They're just like, you said, what? Huh? Oh. And why do you have that automatic, like, what's that AR-15? We have to guard the mount because, but this isn't even your land.
Well, they're coming over.
Look, but you're not even supposed to be here.
Shut up. Get off. I shoot you.
Now listen, this shit's been recorded by MSNBC. They sent their fucking senior, Richard Engel, their senior foreign correspondent. They almost shot his fucking white ass. I'm done with these motherfuckers, man. I mean, seriously. I until they straighten up. I mean, come on. Yeah, you got that.
The only way we've even got a chance of stopping this slaughter is refusing to support it any further.
That's what I'm talking about. No weapons. They're good. We're good. You're good. You know what? You guys are all right. That's like giving a little kid an AK-47 and sending him off to school. Look, have a nice day.
I mean,
I know Johnny's giving you trouble. What?
Yeah, I mean, send BB every extant pair of Nitwit Nero sneakers. Send him, I don't know, brisket. Maybe get Alina Havana 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 involved. No more bullets.
No more bullets. But see, now we're so far into this now. And this is what is really, and I mean, this is just factual. It doesn't matter if we stop the munitions now anyway, because the disease and famine is taking hold.
And lo,
so it really doesn't matter.
And lo, I beheld a pale horse, and death rode with
him. And from a clinical standpoint, anyone who's pregnant now, let me back up. We're dealing mostly with women and children in Gaza now. Some of them are pregnant. There's spattering. You know, there's some young men around, obviously, but it's mostly women and children. Now, and some of these women are pregnant or will be pregnant, and of course they're children. Now, if you don't get the proper nutrition, in a lot of areas by the time you're seven, and seven's that's on the edge. You will never be right. Literally, your neurons will never develop properly. I mean, they most likely will not. There's always miracles, but in general, you will be deficient. Not to mention the neonatal care. Those babies that come out. So they're going to be a little off. Anyway. Most likely. And when they find out why they're off, what do you think might happen?
Say it.
I mean, do people think this through?
No. No. Hey, I want to go back to Nitwit Nero's trial for a bit, though, because...
Please, because that's enough.
You said a little bit ago, ever heard of Trump? Lee in New York said, no, but I can smell him from a mile away.
Oh, shit. I know why you brought that up. He's wearing the big-ass diaper. He's got to be in there all
well,
day.
Yeah, that's what...
Oh, my God.
He's probably double diapering.
Oh, fucker. That's why they have it so cold in there.
They are feeding him nothing but rice and cheese and bananas just to keep him nice and tightened up.
This fucker, and you know he can't drink his Diet Coke. Oh man,
Yeah, see, he can't have his Adderall. He can't have his Diet Cokes. They probably got him on a, you know, a little Zanny bar, at least, maybe a Valium or an Ativan or something. And so today, when Pecker was testifying about him, he actually closed his eyes when it got really bad. Pecker told the jury that he worked closely with Michael Cohen on the catch and kill stories. He testified that he paid $30,000 to the doorman at Trump Tower, who said that Nitwit Nero had gotten a kid on a maid. On the stand, Pecker said Dino was in the market selling a story that Donald Trump fathered an illegitimate girl with the maid in Trump Tower, and he found out about that story from a former editor-in-chief of the National Enquirer. So Pecker said he turned around and told Cohen, who said, oh, it's not true, but said he'd look into it. And then he told the executive editor to buy the guy's story and kill it. NBC News said Trump's eyes were closed and he didn't seem to have any visible reaction. And he kept them closed when Pecker started talking about Karen McDougal. Because remember, Karen McDougal was the one who actually, and this is just gross, fell in love with him.
I do remember that. No, she... Yeah,
On the stand, he said, yep. A Playboy model who's trying to sell a story about a romantic relationship with Donald Trump for a year. And he closed his eyes to that one, too. Yeah, it's a good thing this thing isn't being televised. You know, Melanoma might figure out finally what an absolute shitheel she married. And so this was a rough day today, but Pecker was not without. Well, Lisa Rubin went on MSNBC to say that she had a moment where she actually physically laughed out loud at the testimony.
I imagine a whole bunch of phone logs to corroborate his own testimony about the calls he had with Michael Cohen and Donald Trump. Again, Nicole, the day ended testimonially with him recalling a call he had not with Cohen, but with Trump. After they did the investigation of Karen McDougal's story, after Dylan Howard flew to California to interview Karen McDougal for 2 to 3 hours, it was David Pecker who told Donald Trump on the phone, I think we should buy this, right? And that's where we stopped.
And Donald Trump says, what does he say? He says, I think that sometimes those stories come out anyway. I mean, you have this collision between Donald Trump, who wants to silence bad information about himself, and Donald Trump, the tightwad.
Right. I would be your eyes and ears. That's David Pecker telling Donald Trump that. And about the arrangement, he said that Pecker responded, or that Trump responded with, that he was pleased. You know, this is a clearly a campaign motive here that was laid out by David Pecker, talking about the purchasing of stories for the purposes of potentially releasing them after the election. Right. If you are open to releasing these stories after the election, then your foremost concern is not about your wife or your children one day finding it out. It is about making it through November of 2016 and the potential to win the presidency.
As far as his defense about, you know, I was protecting my family, it was known in New York, Donald Trump was never very discreet about anything. I mean, he was always out and about, and that's what makes that such a joke to people who kind of inside baseball understand Trump, understand the social scene in Manhattan. Donald Trump was never kind of operating very low-key, if you will.
Well, it was a joke to David Pecker, too. I mean, one of the things that made me laugh out loud today was when he described Donald Trump as one of the world's most eligible bachelors without any sense of irony, given that he was married at the time of the question.
And he corrects himself. He says he was one of, and then he goes back and says he was the. most eligible bachelor.
And he liked like, said, the most beautiful
married the
women.
Whole time.
Yep.
thanks, Ruben. Von Hilliard, who did double duty. Thank you so much for being here.
The most eligible bachelor. You know, when he was cheating on his third wife with the Playboy bunny and the porn star.
Terrible.
And then there was the photo. Theo sent me this photo earlier, and I don't think it was photoshopped. It looked real. Of Stormy Daniels walking in somewhere wearing a dress with a solid color background, but it had mushrooms all over it. It was a little mushroom print.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah.
Stoke the stroke.
Well, she probably... Yeah, well... You know, I mean, it is what it is. But this... And I don't know, they're making it big on TV. They're making a big deal about, you know, who has no family around him, you know, in court. I almost feel sorry for him now, in a way. In a way, but not really. Just
no.
He did it to himself.
Sympathy is reserved for people who are penitent, who are remorseful, or had something happen to them through no fault of their own. None of those things.
You're right.
None of those things apply to Nitwit Nero.
They don't, and you're right. And that's one thing, Jehoshaphat, he's been hammering this for a while. It's true. I agree, but for different reasons. In that, when you encounter someone who it can never be contrite, and I'm not like he was talking about from a religious standpoint, but I just mean in mental health, you know, just from a social science standpoint. Anyone who can never be contrite, stay the hell away from them. They are dangerous. They're snakes. Because what that actually means is that if something happens, you cannot count on them. Period. And he's made it very clear that he doesn't even know what, he might know what contrite means, but he said it out loud. I have nothing to apologize for, ever. Everything I do is perfect. See that right there. This was, I don't know what. In fact, this is a question. It's funny. This is a question I've been wanting to ask you now for a few days, maybe, or just in general to America. Why, after all of this we've seen, and just clear the table for a minute. Just look at the facts. Fuck everybody's feelings. Let's just look at the facts. As Americans. After all this shit that we know now, why must we endure this torturous journey because of this asshole's bad behavior? It's no more conjecture. There's nothing. We are suffering because of his malfeasance in all areas. Unacceptable.
It is, and he needs to pay the price, and it needs to be a heavy price.
Do you understand what I'm saying? No, seriously.
I do. Now, this is a conversation you and I have had in the past. According to the New York Times, behind the scenes of all of this, the Secret Service, in conjunction with other law enforcement agencies, are beginning to have early discussions about how to fulfill their role when he goes to prison. And they kind of had to move into that space because the prosecution in the contempt hearing today over the violation of the gag order said, Your Honor, we're not asking for incarceration right now, but we are asking you to remind the defendant that that is possible for him.
They actually said that today?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm serious.
And okay, so, I mean, with other defendants, this might make a difference, but where Trump is concerned, each violation of the gag order can carry with it a $1,000 fine.
Which is nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, each violation of the gag order can also carry with it, at the judge's discretion, up to 30 days in jail, which means, right in this case, and you know New York far better than I, most of the Horn Family Community Congregation do, Rikers Island.
Mm-mm.
Where just about every disease, nightmare disease known to humanity, is short of Ebola, and maybe even that, is running around. And so today, he was barking and grunting on over on Tripe Social. He is deeply offended that his former stenographer, Maggie Haberman, at the New York Times, reported that he was pissing and moaning. Because, see, she's got sources inside his camp, and it drives him nuts. But he's pissing and moaning about no one showing up to protest at his trial. So today, today he triped, Maggie Haberman of the failing New York Times falsely reported that I was disappointed with the crowds. No, I'm disappointed with Maggie and her lack of writing skill, and that some of these many police aren't being sent to Columbia and NYU to keep the schools open and the students safe. The legal scholars call the case a scam that should never have been brought. I call it election interference. Well, you know, in that instance, he's right, because that's what he's charged with. This isn't a hush money trial. This is an attempt to influence the outcome of an election in the state of New York. And a personal hit job by a conflicted, corrupt judge who shouldn't be allowed to preside over this political hoax. Violation of the gag order. New York justice is being reduced to ashes, and the world is breathlessly watching. Hopefully, appellate courts can save it, and all of the companies that are fleeing to other jurisdictions, they can no longer take a chance on New York justice. So, Maggie Haberman has reported about the fact that he can't stay awake, and also reported about him pissing and moaning because he doesn't have massive maggot crowds outside. And she also pointed out, no, the local streets aren't closed off. And that's got him mad, too. Vaughn Hilliard, whom we heard in that previous clip from NBC News, actually got video footage showing traffic moving freely up and down the street in front of the courthouse. And barely a soul there. I mean, hell, those two 14-year-olds had no problem getting into the courthouse.
It sounds like crowd derangement syndrome.
It's New York, but, you know, how many, if he was being tried in, oh, I don't know, if he was being tried in Busted Knuckle, West Virginia, or Sister Fister, Alabama, there probably still wouldn't be any crowds. People are exhausted with this.
Well, you know, and you make a good point that he had to cancel his Wilmington, for whatever reason, his Wilmington rally. But, you know, he's very popular here. But remember, the folks that will always be Trumpers, they're like wrestling folks. And maybe the match is almost over. They see their guy's up. We're ready for the next competitor. He's bloodied up. You know, the excitement's gone. Because
this is just the first. This is the first mother. This is the first week.
Say it.
He is not going to make it in any measure, by any metric. And I mean, he's not going to win the election. He will not win the Electoral College. He physically and psychologically will not make it through this process. Financially, he's not going to make it. You know, this is happening fast. Let's remember how fast this is happening. He's dissolving in front of our eyes.
Well, you know, remember the immortal words of Ferris Bueller. Life comes at you fast.
We hadn't even gotten to the secret. Our intelligence. Who knows where that stuff is? Just because you have the file in your hand, that doesn't mean anything. That's already been documented by some type of photographic equipment. Come on. This is bad. But this is how you started this paragraph of our conversation real quick. I would think you said Rikers Island. I've been thinking about this. They're going to have to. It'd be like a Camp David type facility, maybe. He has to go somewhere. First of all, he's mentally ill and he's old. And this after if he makes it through this, he's not going to be well at all. He's not well now. I mean, look at his body language. You know, shambling.
I don't think he's strong enough to get through a campaign.
Oh no!
Again, obligatory Star Trek reference. I think he's as dosed right now as the fake leader of the planet where the Enterprise found the former Starfleet officer running the show.
Hmm.
He may not know from one day to the next, and all he can do is go. All he's got left is going out and blathering the idiocy that completely rules his mind. And, you know, we talk about our filthy morning habit and Jehoshaphat and the like, but they were on it today.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know, there won't be any trial activity tomorrow because he gets Wednesdays off. Because the judge does decent things on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
But, the morning zoo crew was absolutely roasting him over the fact that his ego is crushed because his maggot minions aren't out there barking and grunting outside the courthouse.
Donald Trump is calling on his supporters to protest outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, where his hush money trial is being held. So far, his base has been a no-show. And as the New York Times puts it, the former president is not getting the circus he wanted. The paper reports there were only a handful of Trump supporters outside yesterday morning, and they were outnumbered by the Trump detractors who had signs about his alleged affair with an adult film actress. The former president tried to rally his followers with a long post on his social media site just before 7 yesterday morning. He would post later that the courthouse has completely closed down, which it is not, suggesting that the poor turnout was a plot against his supporters.
Yeah.
I actually, I'm going to go to Sam, but you first, Joe. I mean, I know that there's going to be this hearing before court resumes today about the gag order. And I just wonder, I mean, Donald Trump wants to be careful about asking people to come and rally. And I mean, the last time he was pushing people to show up somewhere, there was an insurrection on the Capitol. And he was saying, I'll meet you there. I just don't think he should be I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me that he might want to just go to court.
That's who he is, though.
And not ask people to show up in his defense.
Sam, after he was inaugurated as President of the United States, you could go in the White House for the next week. And usually when you're outside the press room, you can see all these different pictures. President with a young child, president with Marine saluting, president with this, president with that. Donald Trump put up pictures of the crowd from angles that made it look like he had more people at his inauguration
than he
actually did. So he's sort of obsessed with this stuff. I will say he told them to congregate peacefully. Maybe that's where the misstep was for Donald Trump, because nobody showed up. And so it's maddening to him. Everything seems to be going against him. He's having to sit in this courtroom. I thought it was fascinating last night on Fox News. You actually had Fox News hosts complaining that he was too old. He was a 77-year-old man. Who would make a 77-year-old man
sit down all day?
That's what a lot of 77-year-old men do. They sit down all day. They watch the Atlanta Braves. I know. My dad was one of them. But a lot of people sit down all day. But he's just going crazy. And to add insult to injury, of course, he's being outnumbered by people that are having, you know, his supporters are being outnumbered by people that are holding up signs talking about porn stars and time in prison.
And he doesn't have Sean Spicer this time to go out there and tell everyone that it's the biggest crowd ever to witness a court case, right? And we can see it with our own eyes and ears. There are not that many people out there. Some of it may have to do with the fact that it's taking place in New York City. There are not that many Trump supporters who are there. Some of it may have to do with the fact that the last time he urged people to congregate on his behalf was January 6th. And certainly we know how that ended up. And certainly a lot of people have been arrested for their decision to descend on the Capitol. But I still can't quite get around the fact, and maybe Lisa could address this, which is the act of encouraging protests at the courthouse, of asking your supporters to make a spectacle of the court proceedings, to a degree, maybe not in legal terms, but to a degree, it seems like an act of attempted intimidation. And I'm wondering.
They're not wrong. And he's crumbling before our eyes. And it kind of makes me wonder what's going to happen when he does. I think about this because, you know, I do that. Can you imagine the scenario when he just slumps over at the table? Is that the precursor? Is that the precursor to the plaid blanket and the oatmeal drool on the too long tie?
Yeah. It's going to be that. You know what? I'm glad you're bringing that up. It's going to be that. We're like a collapse, and I'm like, well, we're going to have to, you know, do something different because our client needs attention. Or it's going to be the physical lash out. And that's going to take care of it. But either way, and it's so much information that's been coming. Literally, like we're just days into this, and it made me think. Like in my mind, obviously, and I'm biased, just like you're probably biased, but to read and listen to the transcript from what David Pecker was saying already today, that's a done deal. That's intent. That's conspiracy. In other words, they conspired. There's a reason that they wanted those articles in or out during a certain time frame. And it looks like that's already been proven to me by that testimony. What do you think?
No, I think that there's a certain amount of the population of this country who, you know, not to get all Jack Nicholson, but, you know, can't handle the facts. He's everything people have been saying all along. He's a crook. He's a moron. I mean, he might have been smart once. He might have been really good at marketing himself once. But now he's just pathetic and desperate, and not pathetic in a sympathetic way.
No. Oh, shit. You just unearthed a piece of ore. like gold ore, just in the way you said it. Well, remember, we're still in this. We're just getting in. We hadn't really gotten started with this first trial yet, which is might be this only trial. But, you know, we're just getting started. This is the real deal here. We're just getting started. He's already beat up. So regardless of what happens, how could he possibly be in shape to run this country at this particular time in history? How could that be?
It's a hell of a thing.
You see my point?
I do.
He's already beat up. He's, no matter what happens, he's going to have to get some treatment. His shit is fucked up. Well, and we hadn't really gotten started.
Understand, there will be no treatment. I mean, come on, please. I don't know you. I don't know the intimate details of your life that well, but maybe you've had a little therapy here and there. I think therapy's helpful. Because sometimes we just need a professional to bounce shit off of and, you know,
check in.
And that's
what it's for. There's nothing wrong with that.
So can you imagine him sitting across from a therapist and the therapist trying to make some point with him and him sitting there playing his imaginary squeeze box? Excuse me. Because his pathologies are so profound that he simply cannot admit of the possibility that he's wrong and that he's done
terrible things all along.
This is the curse of measuring oneself by an arbitrary metric like wealth. Wealth is a terrible metric to measure yourself by. There have been plenty of wealthy people who were absolute sacks of dung. Leon Scum comes to mind.
He comes to mind.
That Bill Ackman creep comes to mind.
Well...
Behind every great fortune is a great crime. I think it was Raymond Chandler who wrote that in one of his Philip Marlowe books.
Somebody somewhere along the way cooked the books.
But he didn't know anything about it, right?
Come on.
And do please recall that the witness list for this trial, the reason this trial is going to be 6 to 8 weeks, isn't because the defense is going to call a shit ton of witnesses. It's because the prosecution has that much damning testimonial evidence against him.
They started
at David Pecker, and it's going to go through people like Hope Hicks.
Yep.
It's gonna take in maybe Stormy Daniels, maybe Karen McDougal.
Could be Mark Meadows. Mark, me don't know.
Probably not Mark Meadows because he wasn't in the thick of things as the campaign got going. But God Almighty, parade of witnesses is going to be devastating.
Well, that's the thing. Because some of these people have already been deposed. So they're compelled to, they have to tell the truth.
They have to testify consistently with their deposition. If they try to change their story, they're going to get burnt to ash.
Burnt to ash. And then they're not going to, they see where this guy's going. And if you see, this is, and you hit the nail, two things. I really believe you hit the nail on the head for two things. He's dissolving, because of his psyche, his whole false sense of self, you see, is being disassembled in public view, his greatest fear. Because remember, what really pissed him off was when Obama made fun of him at what's coming up on Saturday, the gala, the press gala dinner. And, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, and people who know what to look for, that shit, that's what set him over the edge. This Negro has got the nerve to make fun of me. I've been thinking about president. Anyway, I'm going to run. And he told that to Putin, and Putin was like, this is what you should do, Donald. Don't worry. You know, and then here we are. And now our whole fucking system is rotten again with Russian agents and sympathizers and who knows what in our House of Representatives. Between Moscow Mitch and this little puppet fool he's had. But hopefully, you see, the fever's breaking now, I think. People are going to see this guy disassemble in public. They're seeing it. Even though there's no video of the courtroom, it's coming out. Now, he may be, look, it could be I predict a hung jury. I seriously do. There's too many weird variables.
Well, hold on. I don't know that I'm there with you on that, Todd, because
this is why
some people are legal experts are saying, you know, this is a novel approach, because the election interference with which he is charged, the hush money and all that stuff, is nominally a misdemeanor. But it becomes a felony when it's done in furtherance of another crime.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to prove two crimes, and as I noted, his pettifoggers finally just kind of dealt with reality and said, I think we're going to have lesser included offenses included in the jury instructions, because if they find that he did one but not the other, it's a misdemeanor and not a felony.
Right.
But the thing is, it'll still be a matter of proving that he was having sex with sex workers when his current wife was 4 weeks postpartum with their son, whom he is bitterly complaining he won't be able to attend his graduation.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it?
No, he's not going to come out. He's not going to come even with a not guilty on the felony. He still comes out tainted.
And let me just say, I think I misspoke. I really kind of meant a mistrial because of things with the jury, because they've already, you know, there's a lot. Their information is getting out there.
And Stephen New York asks a good question. Trump's trial, what exactly is the defense going to be? I've heard nobody actually articulating that. Well, I think the defense is going to be that this doesn't rise to the level. This is going to be a legal argument that this doesn't rise to the level of felonious conduct. But he also says he's going to deny the affair with McDougal and Daniels and try to turn it into a swearing contest. But then again, there's always the possibility, because he keeps blathering on about it, about he will take the stand. And that's why they had that, Salvano, something like that, hearing. Where the state had to put forward exactly what they planned to ask him about on cross if he takes the stand. And Merchan made a point of saying, oh, yeah, sure, you can ask him about the Access Hollywood tape, sure. You can ask him about the alleged affairs with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, sure.
It became clear real quick, like, sure, you can ask all you want, but I don't think you want to go through this door. We made it very clear, like, well, you can come here if you want.
And so he had to sit there. Yeah. And, you know, he was doing that head nodding and everything. and all of that shitty conduct, like not standing up when the jury came in. Juries noticed that.
I didn't know about that. Really?
Sandoval hearing. Thank you, Ralph. Sandoval here. I don't know. Where did I get that? But, yeah, the Sandoval hearing. When the jury came in, his defense counsel stood up. The prosecution stood up. The court clerk stood up. Everybody stood up. It's like a wedding when the bride steps into the door and you hear the bump, bump-a-da-dum, bump-a-da-dum, bump-a-da-dum. Everybody stands.
Okay. I'm going to stop you.
He just sat there in his shitty diaper.
Now, you know, I've been to big court before. And this is what my question to you, as someone who is closer to the law than anybody else on the phone right now. That, to me, that's the attorney's fault. They're supposed to tell you, they tell you exactly what to do. This is what you do. Do not look at you don't look at the jury. You don't make faces. This is why I gave you this legal pad and a pen. You stand up when the judge comes in, you stand up. You stand up when the jury comes in. I mean, it's simple. How come Todd Blanchard didn't do that? Or the other, who's the chief counsel? Is that the chief counsel?
Because his lawyers can't make him do anything.
Well, then they're fucked. I mean, this is ridiculous. This fucker's not quite. This whole exercise in white people being pissed off because a Negro was president, this shit's over, y'all. Just sit the fuck down.
Oh, speaking of which, the White House Correspondents Association. you mentioned Obama and I remember I was just thinking back to the evening that he decided to run for president and enact his vengeance. That was the night that Barack Obama said, well, now that we've got the birth certificate thing out of the way, Donald can go back to trying to figure out who killed Biggie and Tupac.
And he turned red and orange.
He turned purple and orange at the same time. It was a thing to behold. But the White House Correspondents Association hosts what is colloquially referred to, I think, still as the Nerd Prom. April 27th will be the WHCA dinner. And the entertainment for the evening will be Saturday Night Live Weekend Update co-host Colin Jost.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that will be rather unsparing.
Is he pretty scathing of Trump?
Yeah.
Well, that's this coming weekend. Obviously, you knew that's what I was intimating. But tomorrow's not a court day.
He doesn't have to be in court tomorrow.
So I'm curious, what will he be doing?
I'm sure he'll be either trying to go and speak and rally some maggots, or else he'll and some part of the day he will spend sitting there either dictating or thumbing away in all caps at whoever he's mad about.
That's what I'm curious about. Will he be rage posting and get himself in trouble again? Because the part that I followed today with Judge Marchand, I get the impression he has let, when the judge says to the attorney, defense attorney, well, you're not giving me much to hang my hat on, in addition to some other negative comments about their presentation. It doesn't look good at all. And so basically, to me, it was like, you know what? Marchand just let him talk. And he said, you know, I'm not going to decide right now on the gag order. But I think I think what he's going to do is have Trump sign another document. And when he signs it, the document will say, this is exactly what will happen to you. So there'll be no misunderstanding.
Yeah.
You know, when you, if you violate this again, you, this document, you understand this.
Well, back to back to our filthy morning habit. Back to our filthy morning habit for just a minute. They ran a new anti-Trump ad this morning. And I
didn't hear.
Yeah, it was pretty effective.
Really?
Actually, no, this was yesterday. But yeah, this one had to sting because, you know, he gets up and hate watches the show.
Going to have to endure the wrath of these policies, the lack of gun policies, and the overturning of Roe in real time. And then it will ultimately turn back against them. A new ad from the group Republican Voters Against Trump is focusing on how the former president's legal issues may be a liability for the presidency. Let's take a listen.
I was wondering if you guys are hiring right now. I was thinking about applying for a job.
Yeah,
I was thinking about applying for a job here.
I'm currently facing 88 felonies.
For detention of classified information.
Do you all take people that have been found liable for sexual assault?
Trying to overturn the 2020 election.
Falsifying business records.
I was wondering if that was going to be a problem.
Background check.
Yeah.
So that's the only.
So probably not.
Yeah.
So if you guys hire people that sexually assault other people or.
We want to fill background.
Okay.
No, we don't.
These are all workers at a mall.
Donald Trump has been charged with 88 felonies and found liable for sexual assault. If Trump is too big of a liability to get a job at your local mall, he is too big of a liability to be president of the United States.
Wow. Let's bring in the executive director of the Republican Accountability Project, Sarah Longwell. Sarah, great to have you on the show this morning. I do think that it's unknown how things might change for Trump as these trials drag on, especially the one he's in now. And that ad kind of crystallizes some of the challenges he faces straight ahead. What are you seeing in terms of the liability for President Trump with the cases that are still in the future?
Well, look, as you know, I do focus groups with swing voters and voters across the political spectrum every week. And one of the things that we could see is that because Donald Trump has so many charges against him, there are so many different cases, the voters are having difficulty kind of, you know, teasing them out, understanding the difference. Mm-hmm. And because this one right now, basically because it contains the word porn star in the description, sometimes voters take it less seriously than they do some of the ones that we aren't sure whether or not will actually come to trial before the election. And so what we wanted to do with the ad is really underscore that Donald Trump's level of legal liability, this guy couldn't get a job at the local mall. Right. The idea that he, you know, a fast food restaurant wouldn't hire him with his record. And so the idea that we would make him president of the United States again, like we get numb to it. Right. We get sort of numb to who Donald Trump is. And because it's always so much, it's so many charges, it's so many, you know, felonies, it's easy to just let it wash over you. But we really wanted to underscore this is crazy. You know, the idea that we would give this man access to classified documents again after the way that he handled classified documents, refused to give them back. I mean, there's just so many things about what we have seen from his behavior since he has been president. I'm not talking about even the person we saw who was president, but what we know about him since he left office that absolutely is disqualifying. And I think that because there's a numbness to voters, because you've got sort of two functional incumbents running against each other, people are sort of depressed by just sort of seeing a rerun of 2020. You do have to start showing people just how crazy this is. We're going to have new ways sort of wake people up to the insanity of all this.
Sarah, it's Donnie. I think that ad is fantastic, and I think the work you've been doing has been fantastic. You're doing, as you mentioned, a lot of focus groups with Republican voters. What seems to be the key button issue or issues that is resonating with Republican voters who are possibly going to be leaving Trump and going to Biden?
So when there's sort of these two-time Trump voters who have decided that they're out on Donald Trump, it tends to be January 6th. Like, there was a break moment for a certain section of Republican voters. I know we hear a lot about how, and it's true, look, most Republican voters absolutely are tolerant of Trump's behavior, defend his behavior, have continued to go from, you know, January 6th being a terrible day to now, you know, supporting, saying that, you know, the January 6th, the people who attacked the Capitol are hostages. But there are this subset of people, and I got to tell you, they tend to be older Republicans, because there are the Republicans who came of age under Ronald Reagan, who, you know, still believe in a Republican Party based on limited government, free markets, American leadership in the world. And they're the ones who, after January 6th, said, I'm done. Now, not all of those people are going to vote for Joe Biden. A lot of them are still very tribal, but they will not vote for Donald Trump again. And then obviously there's also abortion is a big issue for a lot of Republican men and women. And then these court cases, you know, there is still a group of voters who think that, look, if the president is, if former president is convicted of a crime, that that makes it much harder for them to vote for him.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah Longwell, thank you so much. Charlie Sykes, I'm curious.
From her lips to God's ear, you know?
I think I could put a face to that, that voice. Yeah. Well, you know, it's just sanity. It used to be we disagree about things because mostly Americans, we all mostly want the same thing out of our country, but we have maybe different roads to get there. And this has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, but I don't understand why the House of Representatives in particular, and the Senate, but more the House, obviously we're at loggerheads. So that means, like, you learn this in junior high. You start small. You know, things you agree on. You know, build some comedy, relationships.
Yeah.
You like litter? No, I hate litter. You know, because that's where we are now. We're at the bottom of the totem pole. We have to work back up.
This country has a couple of generations of healing yet to do. By the way, tainted Trump. Whoa, says Christopher in Oregon. Roxanne, how dare you ruin Billable's afternoon snack by mentioning Trump's taint? If there's a hell and you've done enough wrong things in life, that's what you come back as. By the way, hey Todd, thanks.
Hi.
Christopher.
Well, what? Hey, Chris. Oh, Chris. Yeah, Chris. Oh, poor Chris. He went to Philly. Look, is this the taint like in the diaper or out of the diaper? Like with the light brown diarrhea tinge, or I mean, which is it?
Oh, the Pacific Daylight Time Zone dinner is screwed. Jude with an observation, and it's a good one. Trump's attorneys to date, have we viewed even one being able to handle him? It could not occur, as their clients, Donald J. Trump, void of housing anything close to respect for anything. It's not just the void being void of respect, Jude. It's the fact that he is pathologically damaged. You can't represent him because he cannot control himself. He is either a psychopath or a sociopath. He's a malignant narcissist. All of those things that we've been hearing for, oh my God, 9 years. It's hard to believe.
He's all of it. He's all of it. That's the thing. He literally, like, when you hear, I got to put my old work hat on again. You know, just like when they screen you when you're a young person. You know, he has displayed antisocial behaviors his whole life. That's why they sent him to that shitty-ass boarding school, New York Military Academy. Which, oh, I forgot to mention this. Now, I got curious. Now, like I've said, for, you know, countless times, I had a roommate that was from there who actually, you know, he was one of those in the kibbutz, and he went to New York Military Academy, and he came to our school. And so I had been going there for sports, too. Also, but, you know, I just was curious, and I pulled up the tuition. I know I wasn't really joking. I was when I told you, you know, if you were a bad kid in New York City, you know, I'd send you reform. That was one of the reform schools because it was so cheap. So on top of everything else, his parents didn't even spend any money on. I mean, it is like dirt cheap. Like, it's like a prison. It's dirt cheap. Like, where I went, it was about, oh, I don't know, probably 10 times more. Like, when I started tuition, I was like, what? It was what you would pay in northeastern cities. You have what are called parochial schools. It's like usually in a side building or in the basement of a local Catholic church. And, you know, you get a good education, you pay a little bit of tuition, and everybody's happy. You're not going to the public school. Even though it's kind of public school, but it's not, you know. But that was like the rate. So that when he found that out, I know that pissed him off. That's part of his problem, too. I guarantee you, when he found that shit out. Because remember, the whole reason they sent him there is that, he was getting in fights with people. In one particular fight.
He was bullying his other students, his fellow students.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's never been right. Right, exactly.
Oh, and I need to send out a thank you. Thank you to Too Much Hutch. You know, Ralph's had the Berkeley the feral cat challenge on the table from last night that didn't get met. And Too Much Hutch just jumped in and met it. So that means we are now down to, let me see. We're down to $35 to go to be done with this past Friday. And then we've got, we got $2,100 to go to finish the month of April and pay all the bills. Which are ridiculous.
Well, that's progress, and there's more to come.
Rama Lama Ding Dong for Todd, courtesy of Billable Rick.
All right.
This is all happening because white people were pissed off that a black man was president. I think there's a hell of a lot of truth in that. Oh, and by the way, going back to what Christopher said, Ralph's just said, tainted love.
No.
Once I ran from you.
I love that. God, we played the hell out of that.
When the kids were little, our entire family had a whole thing that they did. You know, there were hand gestures and yeah.
Was that? I mean, there was something about it. Whenever they did that stuff, though, that was their. That was the shit.
Look at you remembering who covered it.
When I talked about boarding school, I was in boarding school when that came out. Let me tell you what else.
You child of the 80s.
Look, man, that love. Tainted love. Oh, don't touch me, please. I cannot stand the way you tease. Whoa, we used to rock that shit, man.
It featured in the full-length movie version of the Coneheads, too, so that didn't hurt.
you make me laugh. God, I'm sorry. And I'm gonna tell you what else on the disco around the same time. You had "Genius of Love" by the Tom Tom Club. Now we got that. Remember, oh. We listened to WBLS. That shit, man. That shit never. You see, they're playing the remix now. That never gets old. That's just some good ass shit.
Well, and just from the Department of Silliness, expect spasms and paroxysms from the gender critical and white wing soon. There's a zoo in Japan that has a hippopotamus. That has okay. been there for years, and the folks at the zoo at Osaka Tennoji Zoo, the hippopotamus came there from the African Safari Animal Park in Mexico. Hippo was 5 years old at the time, and when they exported the hippo, they said, "Oh yeah, this is a boy."
motherfucker got a passport.
Well,
he gave her Africa to Mexico.
Well, it turns out that the male hippo is actually a... Well, if it's a hippopotamus and Latin and gender, that would be, I guess she would be a hippopotama. But, yes, so expect Fox News to explode with wrath. And they're, or no, maybe Alex Jones or Joe Rogan. They're transing the hippos. Gender ideology is transing the hippos.
Jesse Waters, where are you?
You're not wrong.
I hope he'll pick that up. I'm so disappointed with him and Hannity.
This is funny though. You know what the clue was?
What?
They finally figured out the hippo because dude hippos, when they take... Oh, I'm so sorry about the time, about dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone or your podcast snack, y'all. Joy's breakfast. When a male hippo takes a dump, he makes a complete mess of things and scatters it all over. Whereas female hippos just are a lot cleaner.
Hmm.
And
That's funny.
Human primate restrooms are a lot like that. Remember that there's a segment of the manosphere that asks the question, is it gay to wipe your ass?
What?
Yes.
You're supposed to walk around with shit on your ass all day? I mean,
Because if you wipe, it means you're gay.
These you people.
those people, incels, men's rights guys.
I'm talking to them. We should talk. That's one thing Jehoshaphat has been talking about is this. I think some of these young men now, I'm talking about, I don't even know if they know what they are. I'm going to say hetero, but I don't even know. They have forgotten how to talk to women. Or whoever they're...
Well, did you... People. Okay, so we've got a couple of minutes left. Did you catch The Economist this morning who was talking about the crisis of masculinity?
No, I really didn't.
He was actually pretty interesting. And he was talking about how young men now, the Gen Xers and Gen Alphas, and there are studies out there that show that young women are growing more liberal, whereas young men are growing more conservative, and that's because
I've seen those studies.
Yeah, and that's because of the manosphere. Don't get close to that with soap and a wash rag in the shower, fellas.
I definitely have seen.
I'm not joking.
This data. No, I know. I mean, the wipe in the butt. I didn't know about that, but the other part. I definitely had seen the stats on that. And what sparked me to think about it, because I like video games, and I'm noticing all these hyper-sexualized images that I see with some of these videos. It's just totally unnecessary. And I'm like, you don't need to be showing this to these young men playing these games, and they don't even know how to talk to women. That's not a good thing. And I'm gonna give anybody who's listening, any young man who's listening, and I'm talking to hetero or whatever, I just say hetero because that's my person. If you think you're having trouble talking to women or interfacing, just remember, it's just another person. Be friends. Be friends first. You'd be surprised what happens. Don't think about the sex.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there. It's like, do you even like girls? But it was actually an interesting segment this morning because he was talking about having a hard time getting a decent job. College saddles you with crippling debt. I've seen articles talking about men having to take what are, you know, and how rude is this? Pink collar jobs, jobs that were previously done primarily by women.
Word.
Nursing, for instance. Hell, it's good money.
Well, look, things, society has changed, and people's roles have changed. They've been changed. This is an interesting topic. We should talk about this one day because, you know, that fits into sociology and what people think their roles are and what they really are. And people have hang-ups. You know, there's still men out there they think it's weird to cook. I'm like, really? You're going to start.
Wait a minute. By the way, check your email. I sent you a picture of the first barbecue pork butt of the season. I think you'll be impressed.
Oh, that sounds good. I've been thinking of you and how you are helping Cynthia along. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have only just begun to smoke.
Cause she's serious, you know what I mean? And she's motivated. And this is getting into the season now. So I'm getting excited now.
She is well on her way to becoming a certified pit mistress.
I believe it. I believe. Well, with your tutelage, you know.
Hey, I quit. I quit tooting back in the late 80s in Atlanta. Quit that.
I knew you wait. You set me up. Well, I'm telling you right now. You know, this here country. This country right here, it runs on three things.
Yeah.
White women, moonshine, and cocaine.
Cocaine.
Them three things right there.
That's running all around my brain.
You think, it's the truth. You think about it. Look at all these people. They scramble around making all this money so they can get with a white woman. So they can do cocaine to keep the white woman. So they have to drink the moonshine.
To come down from the cocaine.
To come down from the cocaine without paying tax on it. They got to get distilled and they got to watch out for the revenue. So they got to pay for the more cocaine. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah. And you know, I prefer my liquor untaxed. That's why I like moonshine. That and it's got that gentle flavor of lighter fluid to it.
Your middle name must be Shay.
You know, sometimes we add a little iodine just to make it like scotch.
God. I don't know though. I wouldn't mind having the store. You can buy it now. I don't know. I don't drink it.
The store bought stuff's junk.
It really is. That's the thing. It's getting worse. Is it me? That literally the quality is getting worse. Unless you try real high end liquor.
Oh no. I mean, look. You know, bourbon prices have gone crazy. I mean, I'm not out there knocking down the hooch or anything, but I do keep track of it. Bourbon prices are through the, you know, what used to be a cheap and cheerful little $22 fifth of Reverend Craig that Ron up in Canada and I used to talk about, that's a $50 bottle of bourbon now.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's insane. And scotch, in order to keep up the snob appeal, has to be more expensive than the bourbon. And pretty soon, it's all gonna be selling for the price of a bottle of Louis Cannes cognac. It's ridiculous.
Bottle of old
Panther piss is $35 now, Todd.
Look, we get a sack of sugar, some yeast, some cornmeal, a stainless steel still through the mail, and
fuck all that. You can buy whole still setups, copper pots in the works. Do it in your kitchen.
That looks like the Irish copper pot with the little thing on the top.
Yeah,
coming down.
Yeah, you can get all of that. You can do it inside or out.
Really?
Yeah, I just...
Well, how much do you think that costs?
I mean, look around. I mean, it's doable. Yeah, a few hundred bucks.
Well, shit, if you've got two or three runs, that's worth it.
Oh, I mean, if you're selling it. You don't want to get sideways of ATF.
No, but you know, you're going to have friends when people smell it. It smells sweet like oatmeal when it's cooking. You know, and your mom's going to make you doing something. It's like, you ain't eating that much oatmeal over there, boy.
That ain't what the Quaker Oats man had in mind.
Had them look droopy, boy.
And the fact that you can just go and buy a whole bunch of off-brand Piggly Wiggly brand raisins and make yourself a fine little batch of rocket fuel. Now there you go. That's the good stuff.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? You can make it out of anything. You know what makes a really, really, really good shine?
What?
Yeah, people are going to cringe and stuff. Prunes.
I believe that.
Basically, you wind up with the homemade version of the Eastern European rocket fuel called Slivovitz.
I bet it adds a little body to it, just like potatoes do.
It absolutely does. The raisins, prunes, yep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that vileness, that sharpness of corn liquor.
Right. The strip feeling like it's stripping paint. Right. Yeah. Right. That I can see that.
Welcome to Moonshine Talk with Roxanne and Todd.
You know what? Look, we're going to have a podcast. We're going to have an offshoot podcast because this might be doable. I don't know.
Maybe if I promise to distill up a bunch of hooch, we could actually get people to come to a horn end. But the thing is, I'd have to hire every cop in Fayette County just to stop the brawl, and that shit will make you mean. Oh.
We have to have some ground rules.
Yeah, sweet little Jude who wouldn't hurt a fly, get a couple of shots of that stuff in Jude, and she's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
But, Jude, what happened? Oh, give it to him.
Give me that jug.
Yeah. That's seriously, though. The
we love you, Jude. We're just playing.
We're playing, but moonshine will get you high. Like high. Like, it's like, ooh.
Well, they don't call it pop skull for nothing. It'll take the top of your noggin off.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, man.
It's kind of like that line from Jim Stafford's The Wildwood Flower. Next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals.
Just like in the movie with the little finger around the little ring on the jug. I have some of those jugs around here, by the way.
Oh, the crockery ones?
Oh. Yeah.
And stopper it up with the dried corn cob?
Yep. In fact, I have one my parents got from in Peddler's Village up in Bucks County back in
And speaking of which, on the way out the door, if you've got Apple TV Plus, you got to watch Franklin.
Michael, I saw it advertised.
Michael Douglas does a damn good job as Benjamin Franklin.
Okay. Well, we had to talk about some
unpaid product placement. New episodes land every Friday on Apple TV Plus.
Well, I've definitely seen that come up on Prime. And speaking of Prime, and I don't know who else has it, but I have to mention it again. The National Geographic Channel has a series
I don't know how many episodes, maybe six. Well, I don't know. It was more than three. It's called Hitler, The Lost Tapes of the Third Reich. And they're really talking about Trump. This is recent. And some of this stuff, there's a guy named Toland. And I know you have to go, but this is really important. This is, you know, I used to work for a museum and archives, and I'm always, like, keeping on top of archival things. So a person named Toland interviewed close associates to Hitler before he died in the 70s, you know, whenever he could catch him, between the 70s and early 80s. And it paints an interesting picture. And the way they lay it out, it's just frightening. And we really need to be alert, because, you know, Trump will be gone. But he has fostered it. And we've always had a Nazi problem. Always. This is nothing new. You know, it's just people don't like to talk about it. But there's always been a Nazi party here.
We had a Nazi problem. We had a Benito Mussolini problem. In fact, the head of the Mussolini fan club in the United States was, I believe, none other than the father of fat, dead Tony Scalia.
Well, you just... This is why you live on a hill. You can see people coming. But, yeah, I mean it. If any of you... Hitler Lost Tapes. It's enthralling. Oh, and this is new stuff. These tapes, these interviews, they were hidden. They just got released from the Library of Congress. They were hidden. They lost them, whatever. This is new stuff. Hitler, The Lost Tapes of the Third Reich. National Geographic, you know. And so... now I'm thinking about stills and moonshine and, oh, I can't wait to get some thighs. You know, I'm getting excited now.
Oh, you got to try that thing with the chicken thighs. You'll love it.
I am. You know, we like thighs. And shoot. I'm ready now with some Kaiser rolls and, man, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, wait till you see that barbecue.
Well, you know what? I appreciate your time and.
Oh, thank you. No, this has been a wonderful conversation. They always are.
Yeah, always. And I want to send love out to the family and everybody, and be nice to people. Everybody, be nice to people, because I've noticed. And I heard you say the other day, people are driving weird since the pandemic. That's the truth. What is wrong? People can't stay in their lane. Anybody's big ass vehicles, you can't. Like, you need to practice. If you can't stay in a lane, why don't buy a vehicle that big? You know? Just don't. So, everybody be careful out here.
Absolutely. That includes you, Todd. You take care.
All right, you too.
All right, bye. And so that's this Titanic Tuesday. Covered some ground, for sure. Thanks for the conversation, Todd. Thanks, everybody, who joined in. Your thoughts, your emails. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so very much. We always need new, more. Thank you to our a la carte contributors and our challenge makers. Thank you, Ralphs. And thank you, Too Much Hutch. We find ourselves at $2,135 to finish the month of April fully funded. It's going to take that. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Whatever shall we talk about tomorrow with no Nitwit Nero trial on the docket? Oh, I think we'll be just fine. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, please... like and subscribe to each episode. Subscribe on a couple of platforms. Leave a comment here and there. It's helpful. We appreciate it. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Over a quarter century, keeping progressive talk going almost single-handedly. Ben Birch will go dark with the White Rose Society on June the 1st. So if there's anything you want to download from there, please get it. I hope I won't get an email on June the 2nd saying, what happened to the White Rose Society? I mention it every night. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Check in on your booster to see when you get your next one. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots. God, can you imagine the viral particles flying around that courthouse in Manhattan? Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if David Pecker comes towards you on the sidewalk and says, Donald Trump is the most eligible bachelor on earth, well, avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.